Okay, essentially our story so far. And what we'll do today is try to fill in some of the more specific details of what we've established so far. But to try to lay it out as quickly as possible, is that we've established that there is a pasuk in the Torah, l'fi'ivr l'osifei mechshol. That much is not disputed. There is a pasuk in the Torah. That pasuk seems to have as many as three different interpretations. That literally, you shouldn't put a rock in front of a blind person. In addition to that, you shouldn't give bad advice to someone who would be misled. And as a third interpretation, and the one that takes most of our focus from a Lamdish perspective, is the issur to help someone commit an avera, which, as we noted, according to the Gemara, is only asur min haTorah when you're a crucial part of the avera. If you are not a crucial part of the avera, if it could theoretically happen without you, that's what's known as chad aver denara. And in that case, there is an issur drabanan, as most of the Rishonim have told us. And there's what to discuss where that issur drabanan comes from. Is it an extension of lifnei iver, or is it a function of tochacha? Is it a function of the issur, well, really the chiyuv to separate somebody from an issur, where maybe we don't really have the ability to do that today as we otherwise might have, but at the very least, we don't want to help with the avera, and that's what Misayeya would send that message. Okay, so those are the basic details in terms of what the issur is. And then we started off with one basic question and then showed how two other popular questions the Achronim have are tied into that question. So the one question we began with is three interpretations. Are these three interpretations really three separate interpretations? Chazal, Tarsh, Bapeh, conveying to us that there are additional concepts contained within this pasuk? Or is it essentially all just one idea, just one issur? You can't exploit someone's disadvantage and cause them to suffer. And all of the different contexts are just that, just contexts, they're just arenas for the issur, but it's all one idea. As we mentioned, there was a machlokus as to why there's no malchus for lifnei iver. This has come up a couple times. We have this by Los Achmod. We have it by the issur to return to Mitzrayim. We spoke about it in Chumash on Thursday. In general, all issues where there's no malchus, the question is why. So here we saw that some said there's no malchus because it's a lav shebeklalos. It's an issur that has many different issurim coming from the same pasuk. And as we noted, that's our central question. Is that really true? Is it really the case that there are many issurim coming from the same pasuk? Or should we say that, no, it's all one issur, it just has different applications, and it's no different than saying there's an issur to eat a cheeseburger at McDonald's, there's an issur to eat it at White Castle, there's an issur to eat it at Wendy's. It's not three different issurim, those are all the same issur, just different scenarios in which you could violate it. So we use that to discuss the central chakir that is asked about lifnei iver, the question of, does lifnei iver mean I am involved in the avera that person is doing? What we would call an accessory interpretation, that just like in the law, in American law, you could be arrested for a crime that you simply helped, even if you didn't pull the trigger, but you're an accessory. So maybe halacha has the same principle. You are equally guilty even though you're not the one doing it. Helping it is also prohibited. Or do we say, no, that's not true, you're not committing this avera. You are simply doing a different avera. You're getting this person in spiritual trouble. That's an avera. And it's only the second interpretation that works on all three levels. So if we want to say it's all one issur, we have to say the second interpretation. And if we want to say that it's an accessory idea, then we have to say by necessity that this is a new level of interpretation being read into the pasuk. And the pasuk has a couple of different spheres of application in different discern completely. So, as we noted, that's a question that the Achronim discuss at great length. It also impacts the question of whether it's an Aver ben Adam l'Makom or ben Adam l'Chavero, which could impact the awkward issue of asking for Mechila. We discussed that a little bit last time. And the question of Mechila when it involves hurting someone's feelings, it's an intra-Bav Metzia topic. The question of Anas Tavarim versus asking for Mechila. And then we talked about some differences that would make. We've mentioned primarily two. One, the fact that it's an absolute life or death difference, a very significant issue. The question of whether if you help someone to do an avera that's yahari v'al yavur, are you also subject to your harig val yavur, which was a machlokas of Balamor and the Ramban? By now, people had a chance to see that Balamor and Ramban, so it's a pretty long read, but it helped to know going in what it says. So you saw that the Balamor, by inference, seems to say that helping somebody do the big three, it's as if you're doing the big three and subject to harig val yavur. And the Ramban disagrees, and the Ramah seems to paskin like that Ramban. The Ramah says you're not obligated to be Moser Nefesh if it's a question of helping somebody with a Harvei Yavor. Very, very significant question of practical importance. And then we also noted different dais in the Ran and Tosis, when the Mishnah in the beginning of Shabbos seems to have a scenario where two people are doing an action together, in this case, Hotzah. And the Mishnah seems to say you could have a situation where one is chayiv and one is pater. When the Rishonim say, how could that be? If two people are needed to do this Avera, it's got to be that they're both committing the Avera, and one of them at least is in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Nichshol. So we saw that there were two ways to deal with this. Either you could try to answer the question, however you do, many different ways. Or you could say, I don't have to answer the question, because we're not interested in Hilchos Lifnei Iver in that Mishnah. We're interested in Hilchos Shabbos. Lifnei Iver is a different concept, okay? So in a Chanami, you know that whenever there's an Isser, if you're helping, you're also in violation of Lifnei Iver. But that's simply not our context. So that's the same question. If you help with Chilul Shabbos, are you Machal Shabbos? Or are you not being Machal Shabbos or in violation of a different Isser? Which could have the Nafgamina, and we discussed from Rabbi Akiva Eger, somebody who regularly helps out Chilul Shabbos, even though he never does it himself. Would you call such a person a mummer l'chalos ha-Shabbos? And then we started to discuss the question of the Ad Malachi, which is the second big question that the Achronim discuss. And as we noted, we believe it's completely intertwined with the other questions we've seen so far. And that's the issue of, if I help somebody, I give somebody a michshol, and he violates the Avera later on. So when do I violate that Avera? So what do I violate Neiver? Do I violate Neiver when I give him the Michshol, or many hours later when he violates the Aveir? And in case you think it's not such a relevant question, who cares when it is, it's hugely relevant, because what if the person never violates the Aveir? So then it makes sense to say that if it's an accessory idea, so then you violate your Aveir when he violates the Aveir. But if it's about the Michshol, if it's about your tripping up the person, then you can make the case that it's in violation when you put it down, when you give him the Chefetz of Isser. And whether or not he violates it later is somewhat immaterial. And I think to beyond that, we just mentioned that there are various proofs brought to that point, and one of them was from Bav Metzia, so we opened up to that one in Ayin Hei Mebeis, where the Gemara seems to say that somebody who lends money without Eidim is in violation of Lifnei Iver apparently right away. Rashi says because it occurs to the person to deny the loan, he knows that there is no evidence against him. And it sounds like even if he doesn't actually do this, you're still going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver. Apparently that's the case regardless of whether the Aveira actually takes place. And we mentioned, parenthetically, it is a major literature in the poskim today, why it is that we don't seem to have any concern to observe the Salacha, and why we're willing to lend money without worrying about Eidim.
In that case, it's the Lova who's being over?
No, the Malva is being over, because the Malva is tempting the Lova to deny the loan. And by putting him in this position where he now it's like we say Pirtzikar Laganev, we're kind of leaving an unlocked door where he could easily steal something, and we're putting him in a position where he could easily be dishonest, so isn't that a form of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Nichshol?
Hi. According to the Rashi about you're putting the lover that he starts to think about, is there an inherent issue with thinking about?
Presumably not. You know, if there was, it's an interesting question to the Chaker, because it affects how much the Gemara is approved for one direction or the other. So, since it's hard to say that there is such an Isser, that's why it sounds like from the Gemara that you're in violation regardless of the fact that he's not over an Isser. And Rashi is just explaining that now you give him the potential to do the Aveira
right,
later. If you could make a case that there was such an Aveira in that, then it would make the focus of the Gemara shift and it would be approved to the other point of view. But I don't know if you can reasonably make that case. But it is an interesting area to examine. Okay, I think that's most of what we have seen so far. Everybody up to speed? Anybody have any questions, any issues? So working with that, So now let's try to add in a few more details just to fill in some of the spaces. So first of all, just Bav Metzia topic, first parak in Bav Metzia. So the concept of Lifnei Iver comes up a few places. We saw it came up on Daf Hey. It comes up in the Rishonim on Daf Yud as well. Because the Gemara discusses the concept, another great sugya, which would be terrific if we had time to get into at length. Maybe we'll find some time later in the year to come back to it. But the concept of Shlichus Lidvar Aveira, whether or not and under what circumstances you can appoint somebody else to do an Aveira on your behalf, and what are the consequences of the fact that it's an Aveira? Does that mean that the Shlichus doesn't count? Does it mean that the Aveira doesn't transfer to the Shliach? That's a whole separate sugya, worthy of discussion at a different time. So the Gemara invokes in this context that it makes a difference whether or not the Shliach is a Bar Chiyuva. If the person who you're asking to do this job, is he somebody who is subject to the Isser? So in that context, Tosus over here, Tosus to Amar Li Yisrael, addresses the question of Lifnei Iver. That you have a Yisrael, and the Kohen asks the Yisrael to marry a Grusha on his behalf. So presumably, the Yisrael is not a Bar Chiyuva in that case. The Yisrael is not somebody who's subject to this prohibition. So Tosfos and the Shita Mekubetzes discuss the question of, is that really true? What about the Isser of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol? And what about the fact that this Yisrael presumably has a Torah prohibition against helping? So Tosfos has a line here. You see in the middle of this Tosfos it says, Aval Yisrael, Afal Gav De Over Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. That yes, it's true that this Yisrael will violate the Yisra Daraisa of Lifnei Iver when he marries this woman on behalf of the Kohen. Kevan di Mekad Shel Atzmo lo Mechayev lo Mikri Bar Chiyuva. That if he was doing it for himself, it would not be an Yisra since he's not a Kohen. So that does not make him a Bar Chiyuva. So we'll look at it as if he is the one doing the Aveira for himself, and since vis-a-vis himself it's not an Aveira, so we won't call him a Bar Chiyuva. So Tosfos doesn't feel a need to say in this case that he's not in violation of Lifnei Iver. Simply that saying he's in Lifnei Iver violation doesn't make him a part of this Isser of marrying a Kohen. Kohen marrying a Grusha, rather. Now you recall, we talked about the Ran and Tosfos and Shabbos. So this is another instance where you have a question like this. Doesn't the existence of Lifnei Iver basically level the playing field? Everybody is in the same scale now because of that Isser. And there's two ways you could answer the question. You could either say, well, this is a case where there's no Lifnei Iver, or you could say, we don't have to care about that. So this is Tosfos essentially saying, we don't have to care about that. We don't have to find a reason why this is not called Lifnei Iver, why Lifnei Iver doesn't apply. The Shita Mekubetzes, though, quotes the Ritva. Did anyone see that? Yeah. So the Shita Mekubetzes quotes the Ritva. And what does the Ritva do over there? He does try to get out of it. And he does give technical approaches as to why Lifnei Iver doesn't apply. Right? Like, for example, maybe the Isser is only with Vila. And the act of Kiddushin is not the Isser itself. Or maybe, right? Or maybe the Kohen could have married her on his own. He didn't need the Shliach. It was Chad Avra Dinara. So you have the same setup that either you could try to get out of, take Lifnei Iver off the table, Or you could say that we don't have to take Lifnei Iver off the table. Lifnei Iver is its own concept. It's simply not what we're talking about right now. And the fact that you have a prohibition of Lifnei Iver doesn't make you a bar chiyuva, the yisur of a kohen marrying a grusha. It's essentially that same layout that we've seen already in a few places. Another example, if you saw the Ramban in Kiddushin, it's also on the list. Now, what question does the Ramban ask? If the Gemara has a drasha that whoever a kohen is not allowed to marry, same issue here, he's not allowed to marry her, and she is not allowed to marry him. The Gemara understands the pasuk to apply to both of them. So the Ramban asks, what is the Ramban's question over there?
Yes, why does it say the double?
Why do I need this, right? Because we know this already. It's Lifnei Iver. She can't marry him unless he's willing to, he can't marry her unless she's willing to marry him. So she's in violation of Lifnei Iver L'Sitein Mitzvah. So in the Ramban, again, you have two ways of looking at it. He himself, as he often does, the Ramban, as we saw a little bit previous conversations, the Ramban can be incredibly achronish. Right? Very often you have a chakira, the Ramban will very clearly give you both stadim of the chakira and two answers of a question. He can be very lundish and very achronish. So the Ramban essentially gives you two approaches that are the two sides of understanding this. You could either say that maybe for some technical reason there's no Isser Lifnei Iver. Or you could say, yeah, it is Lifnei Iver, but we want her to get Malkus for this Isser, for her to be subject to the Isser of marrying a Kohen. So that's where the Gemara tells you, a Chiddush, that she's also not only violating Lifnei Iver, but she's also violating the same specific Avera that he's violating. Okay, so those are two more arenas in which we see the same basic dynamic appearing. Another major question. We saw that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and the Gemara in Pesachim, when it first tells you the basics of the Issur Lifnei Iver. So you recall it gave unusual examples. And we pointed out that the two examples, it seems like they're going out of their way to show us something. So what was the first example that seems to be going out of its way to show us something?
Yeah,
where was one? What was the other one? Eivir Menachai to Ben Noach. Right? So it sounds like the Gemara, which could have just given a simple example, you give somebody a cheeseburger, whatever it is. The Gemara seems to be going out of its way to show us that there is a prohibition of Lifnei Iver when it comes to a non-Jew. Now, we could accept that, but still there's room to question how far you go with it. And you could ask the following question. Is the non-Jew himself subject to Lifnei Iver? And then, are you subject to Lifnei Iver vis-a-vis his Lifnei Iver? In other words, I see a quizzical look. In other words, do you have to worry if you are being machshil a Ben Noach in the Isser of being machshil a second Ben Noach? So, for example, can you provide a Ben Noach with a Hefter Shel Aveira that he's not going to use for an Aveira himself, but that he will give to another one who will do an Aveira?
So Lifnei Lifnei then?
Right, so essentially the Gemara introduces that question, Lifnei Lifnei, we'll have to explain what that context is. So it's two dais in the Ramah, if you had a chance to see it.
Is that the same question?
It may be, yeah, it may all go back to the question that we're dealing with. Right, so essentially you could say, you could have made a case, that's Aser also. Right, that if Lifnei Iver is an accessory idea, essentially what it means is that it's not really an independent Aveira. It's simply a concept. That any time you have an Aveira, the Aveira doesn't apply only to the one doing it, but it applies also to the one assisting it. And if that's the case, so then one could suggest it could be expanded.
Who said that?
Well, that's simply a way of understanding how we could look at it. While if you see Lifnei Iver as a separate Isser, it's an Isser to get people in spiritual trouble. So then I could say, look, maybe that's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. It has to be listed. So you find that Rama was Mekel by the Isser Sirus, if you're going to sterilize an animal. So you're not allowed to give the animal to an Akum who's going to do that. But to give to an Akum who's going to give the animal to another Akum, that apparently is permitted.
Isn't the Ramban?
Oh, that's the Ramah. Some of my Makomos, if I'm not mistaken. So that, as the Nosei Kalim point out, there is a Gemara in the first parak of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara has a line, which Jonathan alluded to a minute ago, where the Gemara says, Alifnei Kapdinan, Alifnei Delifnei Lo Kapdinan. That we have an Avera not to violate Lifnei Iver, but we're not worried about Lifnei Delifnei, Lifnei Iver Delifnei Iver. If it's not a remove, we're not worried about it. So a number of the Rishonim explain, and the Shach adopts the Slahalacha, as do others, that that distinction only makes sense when dealing with an Akum, when dealing with a Ben Noach. Because otherwise, if you're dealing with a Jew, so then you are being machshel that Jew in Lifnei Iver. So apparently, this understanding would have Lifnei Iver as a separate concept, not really as an accessory idea. So it's a concept that includes a Ben Noach as a victim. You're not allowed to victimize a Ben Noach by tripping him up, but doesn't put such an Isser on the Ben Noach. So you cannot trip up a Ben Noach, but the Ben Noach is not usher in tripping up another Ben Noach. So therefore, it's not your Avera if it's indirect. Jonathan?
But even with that Isser, according to that understanding that it's only about a separate Isser, a Lifnei Iver, so why does it have to be that a Goy giving to another Goy? If the Goy gives it to another Jew, so then it's the same issue then.
The same Kamakula, theoretically.
Right.
Maybe, except you may have a sense of Arvus that may forbid you from allowing that to happen. Now that also gets into the issue that the Shach discusses over there. It's in Kufnun Vav. That the Shach says that the Isser Misayeya that we've been speaking about says the Isser Misayeya, the Isser Drabana, that only applies with the Yisrael. Because, as he goes on to say, that where does Misayeya come from? And we mentioned as we started that Misayeya might be an extension of the Lifnei Iver idea, or it might be a Tofacha idea. So that's how the Shach explains that Misayeya is really a Tofacha idea. So you have an obligation by a Jew to be mafreshim from Isser. So therefore, there's an Isser to help, even if it's not crucial help, even if it's not treyav or denar. But that Isser Misayeya, he says, does not apply to an Akum. So Ben Noach, you can't be machshel him directly. But indirectly, or if you're not a crucial part of the process, that's how the Rama and the Shach seem to assume we don't have an Isser in that context. Hi.
Does Kol Yisrael or Ravens always come into play?
So that would come into play for Yisrael.
Right.
Right, and that perhaps Misayeya is a function of Arvus, but as a function of Neiver, apparently that's...
Doesn't it have an elevated level, not just a Durabon?
I mean, so it would apply even a level Manatoru.
Yeah.
Perhaps. You know, it depends on how able you are to make a difference by your absence or your presence, even passively. So if your help is so non-vital that it's not even making any difference one way or another, so then it may not even incur Arvus on a level Manatoru. So that's another major issue, this whole question of how exactly the Ben Noach fits in has to do a lot with figuring out what the basic lumdus is of the whole issue. Now there is a fascinating shita of the Amunah Shmuel. I didn't put that on the Mar Makom list because I didn't think it had such an easy time finding it. I actually didn't even look if the Emunah Shmuel is on Hebrew books. It probably is. So maybe I'll take a look for that tonight, and I'll maybe send it around tomorrow if it is easier to find than I thought. I didn't even check if it was there. But, sorry? Yeah, I have to pop for that one to see if it's worth it. But in any event, I'll take a look at it and let you know if it's easy to access. Although it is quoted in the Nosei Kelim and the Shulchan Aruch. So I'll give you somewhere to look for it tomorrow. But the Emunah Shmuel, we made reference to him in Parsha Shir earlier in the year because he apparently also wrote a sefer on Chumash called Birka Shmuel. Nowadays, there is a famous Achron Baruch Ber Leibowitz wrote on the Gemara called Birka Shmuel. So if anyone asks who the Birka Shmuel is, they're talking about Baruch Ber. But in the 1600s, there was a Birka Shmuel al Torah that was written by the author of the Emunah Shmuel. So the Emunah Shmuel, if you remember, there is one across the hall in the Kolobos Medrash as well. There's an Emunah Shmuel. So the Emunah Shmuel's most famous shita, if I'm not mistaken, is this shita. And it says as follows. There's no prohibition with the Eber Lositen Mechshol, according to the Emunah Shmuel, if you, as the Machshil, if you are not subject to the Yisr. If the Yisr doesn't apply to you, it only applies to the one being tripped, so then you are not subject to this prohibition. So that's a fascinating idea, and it's an idea that many later Svarim have attacked. As you can imagine, there's all kinds of rayas you could bring one way or another. But how could you even understand that issue? And if you think about it, I think this position of the Emunah Shmuel is a very powerful test case for the two sides of this chakira. Anybody want to try to flesh that out a little bit? I think that the two sides of the Chakira may push you very hard in one direction or the other vis-a-vis the Emunah Shmuel. Jonathan?
So if you say it's about being mistarif with the Isser, so if the Isser's not sharif to you, so then you'd be pater. But if you say it's about a separate Isser of the Neiver, so no matter what, you're causing this guy to sin.
Correct. I think that is absolutely correct, that the only way the Emunah Shmuel could be a viable position is that it's a somewhat extreme version of the accessory theory. That we could say that if it means that you are partaking of the Avera, so then we could make a strong case that, well, if the Avera doesn't apply to you, then you're allowed to partake in the Avera. If we say that Lifnei means not only should you not pull the trigger, but you shouldn't drive the getaway car, so then maybe you could say, well, if I'm allowed to rob a bank, then I'm allowed to drive a getaway car too. Now, you don't have to say that way from the accessory sheet, though. You could say that you could, this is part of the discussion also, we just saw a minute ago by the Baruch Yehuva and the Kohen and the Grusha. You could say that if an Isser, if it's possible for you to make a difference in making it happen, so then you become addressed by that Isser also, even if it wouldn't otherwise apply to you. Or you could say that, for example, like with the Kohen and the Grusha, that even though you as the Yisrael don't have any prohibition of marrying a grusha, but if it's possible for you to play a key role in facilitating a kohen marrying a grusha, so then you are also instructed in that avera not to do that. So that would also be consistent with the accessory interpretation. But you could take the accessory, I think the only way the Emunah Shmuel makes sense is if you take the accessory interpretation to an extreme version, and you say, look, you're off the hook since this Isser is not on your list of prohibited actions. So therefore, we only prohibit you to help something that you are not allowed to do. But if you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to help do it. So since you could marry a grusha, therefore you could help someone marry a grusha. Well, if you say it's about tripping someone up, so then why should we care at all whether that Isser applies to you? It's all about the victim. Is the victim going to get in trouble in Shemayim? If the Isser means you shouldn't get the person in spiritual hot water. So it's completely irrelevant whether or not you are part of this. Or let's say, for example, just thinking of something nearby, let's say you go into MTA and you're, the students are not supposed to use the elevator. So you, as a teacher, you take a student with you in the elevator. And then the principal yells at the student for being in the elevator. So you got the kid in trouble. Even though what he's doing is something that's completely permissible for you. But if the issur is not to get him in trouble, so what difference should it make in a law that the issur doesn't apply to you? At the end of the day, if the issur of the issur is not getting the guy in trouble, so you got him in trouble, regardless of the fact that you would not get in trouble for doing the same thing. And that's the whole nature of the issur. While the Emunah Shmuel would have a very technical accessory view, that no, the issur is help someone do something wrong. So not only should you not ride the elevator, but you shouldn't help someone ride the elevator. And in that case, since you're allowed to ride the elevator, so then you're allowed to help somebody ride the elevator. And we don't care about the fact that person you're helping is going to get in trouble for doing it. Now, as you can imagine, there's a lot of debate about the Emunah Shmuel. Many bring rayas back and forth, and you can probably already, from what you've seen in this figure, think of a lot of rayas one way, a lot of rayas another way. I should give you an example. I don't think I put this on the list, but the Tosus and the Chagiga and Daf Yugimel, did I put that on? So, Tosus talks about there a question, the Isser of Talmud Torah for an Akum, which is a very complicated subject, without getting into it in great detail. But the Gemara has a pasuk that it's aser to teach Torah to an Akum. And Tosus raises the question that the Gemara in Sanhedrin already says that it's aser for an Akum to learn Torah. So since, according to most poskim, it's mutter for a Jew to learn Torah, so why should there be an issur lifnei iver in this case? So Tosus deals with the question of, since there's an issur lifnei iver, so why should we be a pasuk to say it's also to teach? If it's also for them to learn, it's left naiver for you to teach. So why do I need a pasuk? The question is, the Gemara has a pasuk to say it's also for an Akum to learn, and another pasuk that it's also for a Jew to teach an Akum. So Tosus asks, but I already can figure out that it's also to teach the Akum, because left naiver lo sitei mishal. So some of the Chassidim and others point out that if the Emunah Shmuel is right, there is no issur lifnei iver here. Right? Because since most assume it's mutter for a Jew to learn Torah, so therefore, according to the Emunah Shmuel, it wouldn't be lifnei iver for him to help the Akum. So in general, we talked about this at some length last year. In general, it's an interesting methodological question. To take a moment to focus on this. If you have a yesod, you have a chiddush you're trying to prove, and a rishon, like Tosus, asks a question, and your yesod could answer the question. So from one direction, you might think, that's a good proof. My yesod makes everything make sense. On the other hand, but what about the fact that Tosus doesn't give my answer? So what's more relevant? The fact that my Yisod makes everything fit in perfectly? Or the fact that the Rishon who raises the question doesn't say that Yisod, and therefore by implication doesn't agree? So that's a little bit of an open question. I think I spent some time talking about that last year in terms of methodology. Where do you put the weight of the proof in this case? So here, with this view of the Emunah Shmuel, we'll have a lot of those. So all the questions that the Emunah Shmuel, his opinion, could answer, so the fact that it makes things fall into place, is that a proof? Or the fact that Rishon don't give that answer, is that a proof against him? It's an open issue. Shlomo, you had a question?
Hold on for a second.
Okay. So there are a lot of points that are brought either to support the Emunah Shmuel or to reject the Emunah Shmuel. But what's particularly fascinating, and what very much addresses the point that we started off with from day one, is a question and an answer of the Achiezer. The Achiezer, as you may know, is written by Reb Chaim Moser Grzinski, one of the greatest Gedolim of the 20th century, the Rav of Vilna until he died in 1940. So Chaim Moser, tremendous Gadol, is known from a Sfarim perspective just for this one sefer, the Achiezer, the Shalos and Shuvas. So Chaim Moser asks the following very powerful question. And the answer that he gives is very relevant to our central issue. He says, how could the Amunah Shmuel be right? How could the Amunah Shmuel tell me that if I help someone to do an Aveira that happens not to apply to me, I'm not in violation of the Ibra Lositin Mishra? How could that possibly be? Why is it so hard for it to be true? Because, as we know, as we've said from the very beginning, Lifnei Iver applies to a couple of different things. Yes, it applies to helping somebody do an Aveir. But we know that part of the definition of Lifnei Iver is if I give someone bad advice, even if it's not spiritually connected. So if I tell someone to buy a house that's bad for him, or if I tell someone to buy a car, take a job that I know is bad for him, that's an aveira. Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Parenthetically, there's a lot, you know, we're not focusing on this aspect of the issue, but you shouldn't take this one lightly. There's a lot to say about it. It comes up almost as often in life. And there was a great Talmud Chacham who used to teach in MTA, or in the Brooklyn version of MTA that was closed. His name was Rabbi Yosef Epstein. So he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he wrote very important Svarim focused on the subject of the mitzvos ben adam l'chaveru. So he had some very fascinating perspectives on these mitzvos. He had a whole machon, and I don't know how much he did with machon, but he was able to publish a few Svarim, which are available in the library, maybe available online also. They're all very worthwhile. A lot to be said about them. He has a sefer called Mitzvos Habayis, where he talks about the household mitzvos and things related to marriage and the like in the interpersonal realm. And he has a mitzvah sefer called Mitzvos HaShalom. And he has a sefer that focuses on Purim specifically, so that's a good Yana de Yoma. It's called a Igeres HaMusa or something like that. And he has a sefer, a whole volume called Mitzvos HaItza, where he talks about the imperative of giving someone advice when they need it. There is a specific mitzvah when somebody needs some guidance and you can provide it. So that is a crucial mitzvah ben adam l'chaveru, and he has a whole volume devoted to that and the various sources to make that point. And one of the points that he makes in that volume is that we see there's an issur lifnei iver l'sitein michshol to give somebody bad advice. And he says you can infer from there there's also a positive mitzvah. Not only is there an issur to give someone bad advice, but there's also an imperative to give them good advice when you're able to. So there's a lot to talk about this specific wing of the issur, and I don't want to downplay it all as if it's not an important subject. It's definitely a major issue within this whole realm. So like I said, the first interpretation of pasuk, we all hope that we're too decent to have to worry about, but none of us ever considered putting a physical rock in front of a physical blindness. But the other two interpretations have a lot to be said about them, and you shouldn't think the bad advice one is a minor subject. It's a very major issue as well. So asks Reb Chaim Moser, if there's an issur to give somebody bad advice, ein lecha bad advice gadol mizeh. Right? Shouldn't we assume that any time I help somebody do an Aveira, so then they are going to be essentially as if I'm advising them to do this Aveira? So you could say whatever you want, the Aveira doesn't apply to you, technicality, Emunah Shmuel, whatever he wants to say. The fact is, am I not giving this person terrible advice? Shouldn't that be included at least in that aspect of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol? By the way, just parenthetically,
one raya I thought maybe somebody would ask against the Mishnah before this question is, we said the Gemara goes out of its way to give strange examples. So what's the other strange example the Gemara gives? Nazir, right? So maybe you'll say, well, is that a raya against the Emunah Shmuel? Because the person who's giving the Isser, as far as we know from the Gemara, no reason to assume that he's a Nazir, right? So if I give wine to a Nazir, let's assume I'm not a Nazir. So it's clear from the Gemara that's a violation. Is that a raya against the Emunah Shmuel? What do you think? So, no, it's tempting to say that it is, but it isn't. And if you look at the words, the Emunah Shmuel, he already addresses this a little bit. That the Surim of Nazir apply to all of us right now. As mentioned also in the past, if you want to get into a Shechtas Kolel, so you have to know that the Surim of Nazir apply to men and to women equally. And if a woman wants to become a Nazir and she takes an oath of Naziris, so that's a Pasuk in Chumash. We always make fun of this during the Purim Spiel because it's one of Reshechter's favorite questions to get into the Kolel. So can a woman be a Nazir? So the wrong answer is no. The little bit right answer is to show that it's a Mishnah. But the really right answer is the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Yisho, Yisho, Ki, Yazir, Nazir, Lahafli, that if a man or woman takes a Nazir of Naziris, so then the rules apply. So the halachas of Naziris apply to all of us. It's not like the halachas of Kahuna or a Bechor. It's not a unique status that doesn't apply to us. It just happens to be that right now we have not invoked the Nazir status. But if we would choose to at any moment take on an oath of Naziris, so all the rules would apply to us. So the Emunah Shmuel makes reference to the Gemara and he says, Kila Kishiyah Nazir, that since if I wanted to be a Nazir, all these halachas would apply to me, so I am subject. The Isser of a Nazir drinking wine 100% applies to me. The Isser of a Nazir going into a Beis HaKvaris 100% applies to Michael Gabay. Just happens to be that right now neither of us are Nazirim, but we're completely subject to all the prohibitions that come out of it. So that doesn't have to challenge the Emunah Shmuel. But, asks Reb Chaim Ozer, even if I come up with a case where the Isser really doesn't apply to me at all, so isn't this bad advice? Ein lecha bad advice gabul mizeh? So why should the bad advice part of the Isser not cover this? How can you tell me this person is not in violation of Lufnei Iver? How could that be true when we know Lufnei Iver includes any bad advice, even if it's not spiritual in nature? Jonathan?
So if we go back to our original Fakir, if we say that really we're dealing with three separate Isser, so it could be that the Emunah Shmuel is only talking about that aspect of the Isser.
So that is a major part of what he says, but he fleshes it out a little bit more. You're right that essentially Reb Chaim Ozer, and this is hugely relevant to our original Chakira, so he posits there's a fundamental difference between the Isser of bad advice and the Isser of helping somebody do an Aveir. Which again, you can only say if we make this assumption that there are several different Isserim all coming out of the same pasuk. But then you have to say more. So still, why am I not in violation of bad advice, Lifnei Iver, when I do this?
Could be like what we were saying before, that like similar to what we said with the Mishnah of Shabbos, that it could be you are, we're just not talking about that specific
right, but that would be difficult to say. It's the same.
He's not originally talking about
right. No, but also it's the same pasuk, so it's very hard to say that. So, but I don't blame you for going that way because that is what comes to mind first, but I don't think that's the answer here. But there's a different, he has a different way of saying, not that that Isser applies, we don't care about it, but that Isser doesn't apply here either because of the difference between the two. And he posits the following chiddush l'halacha, very important. Says, the Isser of bad advice, just conceptually and practically because of the concept, only makes sense if the person who you're advising doesn't know the truth, doesn't know the facts. So if I tell somebody, buy this house, it's a great house, and I conceal the fact that there's no floor in the bottom and it will fall straight through to China, so then that would be an Isser Lifnei Iver. But if he knows that it has no floor, and I'm not concealing anything from him, he's aware of this, and he decides to go ahead with it anyway, so then there's no Lifnei Iver. That bad advice Lifnei Iver is contingent on him missing some information.
on him not knowing what he needs to know. Says Reb Chaim Loizer, when it comes to the issur of helping someone to sin, we don't have any such condition. We're not assuming you're missing any facts. You're fully aware, you know your day backwards and forwards. You're a Baki Bashas, you know everything that Torah says it is mutter and zasa. And your blindness is only in terms of your spirituality, in terms of your religiosity. So says Reb Chaim Loizer, let's say in terms of feeding somebody non-kosher food. So if you didn't know it was non-kosher food, then says Reb Chaim Loizer, you'd be in violation of both kinds of lifnei yirah. You'd be helping the person sin, and that would be bad advice. You're saying, eat this food, it's good for you, and he doesn't know that it's actually spiritually bad for him. But if he knows that it's non-kosher and the Torah prohibits it, then I'm only in violation of this extra chiddush of lifnei iver helping someone to sin. So essentially, it's a tremendous chiddush. He's saying helping someone to sin can violate lifnei iver in two different ways. Lifnei iver A, B, and C. Right, so if we call physical A, bad advice B, and helping an avera C, so if the person knows it's an avera, that's lifnei iver C. That's a chiddush. If the person doesn't know it's an avera, that's lifnei iver B. So any such distinction, like the Amunah Shmuel or any other exception, we are talking about all the nuances within the halachos of lifnei iver, that only applies when the sinner is amazed. Then you could talk about it when the shmuel, you could talk about whatever else, you could make any other kind of distinction when it applies, when it doesn't apply. But if the person is a shogeg, so then because of the bad advice clause, lifnei iver b, that's going to apply very broadly. And there aren't really going to be any exceptions under those circumstances. So this is a tremendous chiddush of Chaim Loizer is saying, this distinction between the iver being a shogeg and a mezid has major ramifications lahalacha. And as you see, it all goes back to our initial question, are we dealing here with one concept that's going to be applied consistently in different arenas? Or, as he's saying, no, that's not the case. There are completely different yisurim that will all emerge from the same pasuk. So far, so good? So just, maybe we'll just quickly throw in, a lot more to say, so we'll have to see. Hopefully we'll finish it tomorrow. I'll give you one of the major issues we want to consider tomorrow, and it has also major conceptual ramifications and huge halacha lemaisa ramifications. And I'll give you some armakomas about it for tomorrow to look at. Is does it make a difference if the avera is drabanan? And in what way does it make a difference? So tomorrow we'll think about that a little bit, and we'll go into some ramifications about that. But I just wanted to fill in one more thing, and then we'll dive in mincha. The Ad Malachi's question. So just in terms of background, I think I put it on the armakomas, but just to fill it in. So he asked the question, do you violate lifnei iver when it happens? Or do you violate it as soon as you put the michshol, even if the avera happens later, or it doesn't happen at all? So as we mentioned, there are proofs from the Gemara in all directions. Our Gemara above Metzia, about lending without Eidim, seem to have a proof that you're over right away, regardless of what happens. So the Amunah Shmuel has a proof in both directions, nothing much more. The Ad Malachi, who raises this question, he quotes a proof in both directions. He notes that on the one hand, the Gemara says in Moed Katan that Amsa de Bei Rebbe used to curse someone she would see hitting an adult child. That's also a very important side concept. It is a specific prohibition
for a parent to hit an adult child, which some of the Rishonim explained doesn't mean adult in the contemporary sense, may not even mean bar mitzvah, may mean a six-year-old, may mean a child who already just is capable of acting on his own. Now we're concerned that the kid is going to hit the parent back. And therefore there's a violation of lifnei iver lo yisitein mechsha. So that Gemara makes it sound as if right away there's a violation of lifnei iver, regardless of what the kid actually does. So there's a violation of lifnei iver automatically. Like the Gemara above Metziah sounds like. So those two Gemaras both make it sound as if there's an Aveira right away. But in the other direction is the Gemara in Kiddushin and the Aflamit Beis, which seems to be a proof that there's only an Aveira if the Mechshol actually happens. But the Gemara talks about one of the Amoraim who decided he wanted to test his child's kibarav and tore up expensive silk in his presence to see if he would get angry. So then the Gemara says, "Aye, v'dilma rasach," and maybe taka he will get angry, and then there'll be a violation of lifnei iver lo yisitein mechshol. So as the Ad Malachi says, this seems to be a proof in the other direction. It seems to be a proof that you're only going to be in violation of lifnei iver if the aveira actually happens. Now Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva where he says you could argue on that proof. And you could say that really all these Gemaras are saying the same thing, that you violate lifnei iver as soon as the mechshol is there. However, as we mentioned the other day, not all people are equal vis-a-vis a mechshol. Right, if I give a treif sandwich to somebody who's likely to eat it, it's a mechshol. If I confiscate the treif sandwich from a student and I give it to the Rosh Yeshiva, so that's not a mechshol because he's not likely to eat it. So not all people are equal vis-a-vis any mechshol. Mechshol has to be something this person is likely to violate. So Rishi Pesach in the Tshuva Sarei Tzvi suggests that when the Gemara says v'dil marasach, maybe he'll get angry and there'll be a violation of lifnei iver, he suggests it doesn't mean that you're only going to violate lifnei iver if a person actually does get angry. So maybe what it means is that we just have to clarify that it's at least conceivable that there'll be an aveira. If a person is completely out of the realm of possibility he's going to do anything wrong, so then there's not any lifnei iver to begin with. There's no mechshol. In order for it to be defined as a mechshol, we have to clarify there's a potential aveira. So that's what the Gemara is addressing, says Rav Tzvi Pesach. Maybe it's saying the Vilna Rasa, just to tell you that Takana, there is a possibility the guy is going to get angry and do something wrong. And therefore, right now, there's a violation of lifnei iver because that potential exists later on, as opposed to a case where there's impossible, there's no potential, so then there wouldn't be an Isser under any circumstances. So that's what he thought. Maybe you could argue, maybe that leaves us, at least with those three proofs, all going in the same direction, not contradicting each other, but all saying that the Avera happens right away. Jonathan, any question?
How can you ever say that's going to be impossible?
Well, nothing's impossible, but then we have to be reasonable. So, you know, what's going to any item in the world, anybody could do an aveira, right? So, if I give you this chumash, you could treat it disrespectfully. You could carry it on Shabbat. Any aveira in the world, you can do an aveira. So, we have to have some standard of reasonableness where we know a person is susceptible to sinning with something, and he needs that object in order to have the discussion. So, the Gemara is saying that if it's a likely possibility, then we have an aveira. If it's not really reasonable, then there's no, we're not going to call it a mechshol. Okay, so any questions about anything we've discussed so far? All right, so God willing, I think tomorrow, we'll see if we're able to finish everything tomorrow. We'll try to finish up.